The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Do not worry, though. We will be back to do all this again on Monday. That'll be Medal of Honor Monday. We'll have fun then, too, and we'll keep on marching on. Looks like we're actually going to do a little bit of history with the Ask Dr. Jesse questions this hour, but I feel obligated. I feel obligated to read this poem. Somebody wrote a poem titled Liberal Aunt Peggy, and his name's Jerry. I'm going to do the best I can to read this in a flowing manner, but the way it's structured in here is hard to read. Okay, so here we go. Liberal Aunt Peggy lives all alone in her self-imposed bubble with just her iPhone, in her Birkenstock sandals, in the NPR zone. My liberal Aunt Peggy is an Ivy League clone. My liberal Aunt Peggy, her tolerance shown. With her transgender best friend, she wants to be alone. For the capitalist genocide America has sown. This is actually really good. My liberal Aunt Peggy in a world of her own. My liberal Aunt Peggy, she never has grown. From her feminist rantings to her communist drone, she pretends to be helpful, casting her stone. My liberal Aunt Peggy, she's a lonely old crone. His name is Jerry. That's so good. All right, quit. Let's focus on let's focus on what's important.
Changing people's lives.
Do you hear Denver's mayor?
What do you say to Denverites who say, you know what, we were too generous? We gave away, we opened the door too wide.
We think it's a balance. We want to be a welcoming city where you don't have a woman with a two-year-old and a three-year-old sleeping outside in a tent in 10-degree weather in a snowstorm. That's one of our values. And we also want to be able to provide high-quality public services to all the taxpayers. That's also one of our values. And in this context, without any federal support to do both of those things requires shared sacrifice. It requires compromise. So we are both making cuts to city budgets to meet this financial need, and we are making cuts to the amount of services we can provide to the migrants that arrive and to the number of folks that we can serve.
Denver's cutting the police force for illegal immigrants. And if you're listening to me right now in Denver and you're upset that 911 calls take so long and you vote Democrat, I just want to remind you, you voted for this. All right? You voted for this. Anyway, let's get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions. Oh, great. Radio orator. Orator. I feel like I'm saying it wrong. I know orator is wrong. Orator? Maybe orator? Chris, does that sound? Could you look it up so we sound smart? It's orator? That kind of sounds nerdy. I'm going to say orator. Orator, it's more. Anyway, your Medal of Honor Mondays and frequent off-script history stories have raised my interest in American conflicts. I was reading about the Korean War when I came across the story of Staff Sergeant Reckless and the role she played in the battle for Outpost Vegas. It made me wonder if you could have any animal fight alongside you. What would it be and why? Keep up the great work and God bless. I'll be honest with you. I thought about this a lot. I thought, no, what, Chris? I'm a dude. I've thought about this a lot. If you had to have an animal fighting alongside you, what would it be? And now, let's understand something. Your first instinct and my first instinct is probably wrong when we think about it. What would be one of the first ones you would think? Like a lion, right? A lion would be handy, or a tiger or something like that. But how do you control it? Very, very difficult to tame. Very, very difficult to control. So that leads us to other animals, ones that have been used. Elephants, for example. We love to talk, at least I love to talk about, the history of elephants in warfare. You know, Alexander the Great was running into these things when he was fighting the Persians. Everyone knows the story of Hannibal. Hannibal fighting the Romans with elephants, even though most of his elephants died pretty early on. The Romans didn't have to take on that many with Hannibal, but they fought other people who had elephants. Now, I'm going to say something. I've bursted your history bubble before when I told you that the sword fights you see in the movies never happened in real life. So I'm going to burst your history bubble one more time. Elephants, they didn't actually work that well. Well, I should put it this way. The elephants had so many problems. Now, the advantage of having an elephant is elephants are highly, highly intelligent animals. They're training, and they're very highly intelligent animals. And there obviously is a benefit to having a gigantic animal that can stomp somebody into a pancake on the battlefield. Or this was done in many societies. They put archers on top of them, so they were kind of like mini archer towers. So you're driving by shooting, but the elephants didn't actually give people like the Romans that many problems. Even Alexander, it didn't give him that many problems. There were always workarounds. One of the cool stories I've told you before is the Romans used to just take pigs, because elephants are skittish animals. They would take pigs and they'd cover them in pitch, in a flammable liquid, and they'd light them on fire, and they'd send them after the elephants. They'd point them towards the elephants and light them on fire. Well, the pigs are screaming, as you can imagine. They're on fire, probably smelled amazing, and they're screaming. They're running across the battlefield. The elephants would go crazy. The elephants were so temperamental that you had the elephants you see, most of them in combat, did you know they had a strap on their head? If you've ever seen a diagram of it or like a relief or something like that on a wall, they had something strapped to their head. And what was in that strap? Oftentimes there was a spike aimed right at the elephant brain that was, it was kind of sitting on top of the skull. So if you were on top of it as the guy who was riding it and controlling it, you could just boom at any time, hit that spike, and the elephant would drop like that. Why would you want something like that on your own elephant? Because they'd always lose their daggone minds, and if you made them scared, they'd turn and start stomping your guys, just going crazy out there. And I'm an elephant fan, but I don't think elephant. I'm going to say something, and it's going to sound really lame because it is really cool to think about animals fighting alongside you. You know, a Komodo dragon. I want a battalion of Komodo dragons. I would just want a dog. The Romans loved dogs. The Spanish conquistadors famously loved dogs. When Hernan Cortez was beating up the Aztecs down in Mexico, he brought dogs. The Spanish loved to use these big dogs. Dogs are so great for combat companions for a variety of reasons. One, they're extremely smart. They're extremely trainable. They're extremely loyal. No matter what happens, if you're the one who cares for, feeds your dog, he's not going to lose his mind in combat and turn and eat you. If anything, his instinct will be to turn and eat anyone who's trying to hurt you. You can throw things on them if you want to lightly armor the dogs, and that happened a lot in the past. A good old-fashioned dog would be sick, and that breaks my heart because, honestly, I might even want a rhino. But rhinos are really stupid. They're famously really stupid. How sweet would it be to have a rhino? But there's just nothing like a dog. Nothing like a dog. Speaking of history, Oracle, which of any of the World War II amphibious assaults in the Pacific do you think was a bad idea? I've read Tarawa may not have been necessary, though I suspect no one died in vain. Tarawa was a brutal battle, but didn't the military learn to fight, so on and so forth? Okay, well, Tarawa, in fact, let's just do the overall point of view on the Pacific War. It's very, very difficult to figure out what was necessary and what wasn't necessary. And this was part of the big flaw in the Japanese strategy. The Japanese strategy of taking control of all these islands, so you have this big circle in the Pacific where you control everything. On its face, it looks pretty smart. Hey, we'll control all these islands. We'll dig in and fortify. Make the Americans come dig us out. Our guys all fight to the death. We know what we're doing. The costs will be too high for the Americans. They'll sue for peace. We end up better off than we were beforehand. That was the Japanese way of thinking. But that way of thinking only, or that strategy only is effective while you have naval superiority. If you're going to secure a bunch of islands out in the middle of the ocean, you have to have naval superiority to make that strategy work. If their navy can sweep your navy off the seas, then you're all just going to die on those islands. And it brings up an interesting question. In fact, a little maybe hindsight being 2020 about World War II. You want to do that in a way that we've never done it before? Let's do that in just a moment. Before we do that, let's do this. Obviously, the spending's going to continue. The wars and the spending and everything else, it's all going to continue. And all people like us can do is get ready. All we can do is prepare. But prepare for what? I don't know. I don't have any idea. But I know every box of ammo I buy makes me feel better. I have ways to turn non-potable water into potable water. It makes me feel better. I have emergency food. It makes me feel better. It makes me sleep better at night. I go to My Patriot Supply. It's the only place I buy emergency food. They've been doing it for ages. They've helped millions of Americans already. This isn't some brand new fly-by-night company. This is what they do. They have emergency food kits prepped and ready for you. And they're $50 off per kit, the four-week emergency food kits right now. You have to go to preparewithjessekelly.com for that deal, though. Preparewithjessekelly.com. Get yourself and your family some emergency food. All right? We'll be back.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We have a bunch to get to. Let's talk about paying taxes, whether or not you should do that. We're going to get to that, but we're going to answer this World War II question first. Talk about this. The guy was asking, you know, were there any of the island assaults, any of the battles, Tarawa, Iwo Jima, any of them, were there any that weren't necessary? Well, let's do a big 2020 hindsight thing. Were any of them necessary? Now, pause. I'm not dogging on America's strategy in World War II in the Pacific. I'm really not. And I understand all the circumstances after Pearl Harbor. America had to fight back. America needed a win. The American people needed that. The Japanese army was on the move. They were taking American territory. They were marching across the Pacific. that there were plans to attack Hawaii. There were legitimate plans in Japan to, I don't mean bombing Pearl Harbor. I'm talking boots on the ground in Hawaii. There was talk about that. However, hear me out. In order to own all these islands and protect all these islands, you must have naval superiority. Why were we able to end up running them out of these islands? It wasn't just the brave Marines and soldiers on the ground. It wasn't that. We were, after a while, after a year or so, we were the superior Navy. And the Japanese, whenever we landed, you know, we land 10,000 Marines on this island, the Japanese were never able to get reinforcements to their people on the ground. Towards the end of the war, it's actually sad if you look at it from a Japanese perspective, not that it broke my heart, but they'd have a whole bunch of divisions land on there and they'd radio headquarters and say, hey, a bunch of guys here, we need some reinforcements, bombs and bullets. And Japanese would simply radio right back, yeah, you're all going to die. Die with honor. Best of luck. Can't get there. We controlled the ocean once we used our manufacturing sector to build up our Navy. We owned the ocean. So hear me out. What if we didn't strike back right away at all? I'm not promoting that. I'm just a thought experiment for you. What if we didn't strike back at all? What if we told Japan, okay, Japan, we'll give you that one. Pearl Harbor, congratulations. But I promise you, we will see you shortly. And what if we just sat back in America and just churned out plane, aircraft carrier, battleship, destroyer, cruiser, over and over and over again, and then simply sent the fleet across the Pacific, blew their Navy out of the water, and just let them all starve to death? You realize that in Japan, mainland Japan, I'm all for dropping the atom bombs, don't get me wrong. But the best argument that can be made against dropping the atom bombs, it's a very legitimate argument, was this. We didn't have to invade. We say if we didn't drop the bombs, we would have had invaded and lost a million men. And that's legitimate if we would have invaded. But why invade at all? We had the largest, most powerful Navy in the world by a mile. We were already sinking virtually every ship that tried to port into Japan. They didn't have the resources. They didn't have to have the food. We were already bombing everything. They didn't have anything. We were starving the entire country to death. I realize you don't want to wait. You want to wrap up the war. You want to end things. And again, I'm not promoting this. I'm just saying it's a great alternate way to look at it. You could have just said, okay, Japan, this is as far as we're going to go. But you're going to start getting awfully hungry around there. Let us know as soon as you'd like to sign a peace agreement. Got all the food we can eat over here on the ships. And but that brings up all. And I'm not pitching for that. But if you want to get in an argument, a devil's advocate argument with your friends, it's the perfect argument. And that brings up something Jewish producer Chris just brought up. What's more humane? You know, when people complain about the atom bombs today, I bring up the same thing to them. Well, is it better to starve people to death? You know, that's what a blockade is. That's what a siege is. When your army surrounds an ancient city, you're starving people to death. They're dying of disease and thirst, malnutrition. When you surround a nation like Japan and you send your sub force, that's really our subs were so deadly in World War II, you send your sub force, the silent service out there, to send every single merchant vessel to the bottom of the ocean. Yeah, it looks good and it's cool and it's the right thing. Again, I'm not saying it was bad, but that merchant vessel you just sunk to the bottom of the ocean just starved women and children to death. And I understand war is terrible. I'm not whining about it. I'm saying there are all kinds of different ways to look at everything. So back to your question, were there any specific campaigns in World War II that weren't necessary? Maybe none of them were necessary. But if I had to answer your question, because I don't want to dance around it, if I had to answer it, Peleliu is not necessary. And that's something that's fairly widely acknowledged today, which is awful because Peleliu was uniquely terrible. It was uniquely terrible and uniquely unnecessary. Maybe the most fascinating of all the World War II battles to me. They all have their own thing. Saipan, they all have their own thing, but Peleliu was really bad. All right. Should we stop paying taxes? Let's talk about that next.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. You can still email us during the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get back to some of these questions. I'm going to play this Josh Hawley questioning of Mayorkas here again, and we're going to try to get to as many of these things as humanly possible because I know the time is getting short here. Hey, King Dong, with all the corruption being exposed by both parties in the America Last policies, what's the point of paying taxes? And do you think a movement could ever happen where people come together and say no more? Boston Tea Party 2.0 style. I think that movement is probably inevitable at some point in time. It's not one you should try to start on your own because then you're just going to go to prison. Let me explain it this way. Remember, you're ahead of everybody. You are the hyper-informed. You are years ahead of even our elected representatives in understanding where we are and what needs to be done. Now, there's a saying, and it's a very, very true saying. If you call yourself a leader, but you turn around and nobody's behind you, you're not a leader, you're just a guy out taking a walk. You're so far ahead right now that if you try to jump the gun on some things, you're not going to lead some movement or save America. You're just going to go to prison and your wife's going to starve. Keep your butt legal. Legal. Out of prison. I do think that will probably come, though, because when the fiscal disaster gets here, and it's obviously going to get here, there's nothing that's going to stop it. They're not slowing down domestic spending. They're not slowing down foreign spending. Nothing's going to stop it. When it gets here, remember, the federal government, they're going to start blood-sucking the citizens even worse than they already are. It's not as if these people, these Democrats and Republicans, are going to sit around a table and say, wow, dang, guys, ooh, we really screwed up, and I feel terrible. We should cut government spending. These are the most despicable people on the planet. They're not going to blame themselves for a second. They're going to look at you like a hungry wolf looks at a wounded deer. And so when that happens, oh, God help us. Who knows what they're going to do on top of all the printing and everything else. All right, let's go. We got to move on. I want to play this Josh Hawley Mayorkas thing here. I thought this was
nothing is done to this guy. He had a criminal record to start with. He's in the country on illegal grounds. You have falsely and illegally allowed him in. He commits a crime against a child. He's not prosecuted. It's expunged. In November, get this. In November, Ibarra files an application for employment authorization. And unbelievably, on December the 9th, 2023, it's approved. So this is your policies in action, Mr. Secretary. A criminal is permitted into this country on grounds flatly not permitted, flatly contradictory to the statute. He commits a crime against a child, and then he gets a work permit. He gets a work permit. You want to know why all of the jobs in the last 2 or 3 years have gone to illegal migrants? Working people in this country can't get a job. Their unemployment rate's high. Why? Because of things like this. And then what's he do? Well, we all know. Then in February, he commits the heinous crime against Lake and Riley. Is this a record that you are proud of?
Senator, you've misstated some facts.
I have read from the parole file, which you have said you don't recall, don't have, you miscited. I'm reading from it. It is right here. And I've just, pursuant to the speech and debate clause, I have just read it into the record. And the reason is, you have lied repeatedly to Congress and to the American people about this. They deserve to know. And the only way they're going to know is if I tell them. I've just told them. It's in the record now. I've read it verbatim from the parole file. Verbatim. I just want to know, why did you change your story so often? Why didn't you just answer honestly to Congressman Bishop and Senator?
Got to be honest. Hawley's pretty good when he questions people. Hawley, he might be the best senator to question people. Cruz is really good, too. Whenever Cruz gets a hold of somebody, because he's this lawyer, this, you know, IQ of 10,000 lawyer type, that when he gets his hooks in you, he really, really goes to war with you. Cruz and Hawley make people look stupid a lot. It's really fantastic. All right, let's move on. Burgermeister, the subject of this one, is thinking of becoming a Christian. I've been an atheist my whole life. By the way, in your stupid face, Chris, I've been an atheist my whole life, he says. Both my parents became atheists after each exited Catholic school as kids. I myself have been a cringy Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens phase in college, so on and so forth. Works in a Christian emergency room where we as a staff pray at the start of each night. His wife is an atheist just like he is. He goes on and they said, I suffered the loss of our son this past summer, and she made us boycott last Christmas in our grief. She feels closer to our lost family now and even suggested going to church, but walked it back really quickly. He says, as two people who never attended church even in childhood, simply showing up to something like that is going to be a huge step. Are there examples of other couples in this situation, what one of them said or did to convince the other to take a leap of faith? Well, I don't think if that's something that you and your wife are considering, I don't think it's a matter of her convincing you or you convincing her. You know, I'll just speak for me when it comes to working out. Just stay with me. I don't enjoy working out. Do you know that? I always played sports. I was always terrible at them. Baseball and basketball, I played them my whole life. And from there, it was the Marine Corps. And look, I'll just make it about the Marine Corps. We PT'd all the time, exercised in the Marine Corps. And every single time, without fail, when we woke up and we were strapping on our shoes or boots and utes or whatever we were doing, every single morning we were getting ready to do that, I would have this horrible feeling in the pit of my stomach, like one you might have if you had to speak in front of people or if you're afraid of heights. For 4 years, every single day, that's how much I hated it. That's how much I knew it was going to be miserable. That's how much I despise exercise, all right? Today, I'm 42, and there's not a person in the planet that can make me exercise. I'm 42 years old. I'm the head of my household. There's nobody who can make me go lift weights or something like that. Yet I do it. And I'll tell you my secret. I show up. And this is what I mean. If I put on my workout shorts and my shirt and I put my tennis shoes on, by that point, I've gone so far into the steps that I'm not going to take my shoes back off. I'm not going to take my t-shirt off. I'm not going to change my shorts. Well, now the shoes are already on. I might as well go do something. If you and your wife are thinking about going to church, may I make a suggestion here? You know, they're not going to check IDs or fingerprint you on the way in. No one's going to bother you. Why don't you two slip in the back? You can even show up 10 minutes late if you're worried about it. And just sit there. And if you don't like it, not working for you, leave. It's not some lifelong commitment to show up to church. And look, I'm not Catholic, right? So if you've had a bad experience, sounds like you've had a bad experience with Catholicism, or at least your parents have or whatever. So pick a church, whatever. I don't care what kind. Pick a church, Baptist, non-denominational, don't care. Show up. And if you don't, yeah, it's exactly right, Chris. There's a lot of denominations. You don't like it, leave. And maybe you just didn't like that one. Maybe try it again the next Sunday. And you don't like it, leave. Maybe it won't work for you. Maybe, though, it's exactly what you're looking for. This country is going to get more spiritual as things go down. That is what happens throughout history. It is going to get more spiritual. And if you find yourself out there looking for that now, you're not alone. People feel it. What's happening now more than anything is people feel the evil around them. Look, even the atheists hear this, and they know it's demonic.
I have a trans daughter. There are.
That's demonic. And even atheists know it. That's the devil himself. And so people are looking. So just you and your wife, show up. And treat yourself right. Go to Red Lobster afterwards. If you walk out, go right to Red Lobster. That's what I would do. Now, speaking of things people can feel out there, people are, it's right here. Americans are sleeping less and they're more stressed than ever. That's right out of Gallup. And I hate that. I hate that this country is stressed. I hate that people are sitting there tossing and turning. And that's why I'm so excited about MyPillow's 25% extravaganza sale. What, Chris? $25 extravaganza sale. How long have we been partners with MyPillow? 2-3 years now? I've never seen a $25 extravaganza sale. You want their great sandals? $25. They're super primo MyPillow. You know that Giza Dream Sheets, right? You know that they have a MyPillow now with Giza fabric on it. It's this premium MyPillow. It's $25 right now. 6-piece towel set. $25 right now. If you're stressed, you're not sleeping, the world's coming to an end. Okay. Go to MyPillow.com and get a good night's sleep. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. And they have a lot more than that for the $25 extravaganza sale. You spend $75, you get free shipping. MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show, but we will be back on Monday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show or you want to listen to the whole thing again, and I wouldn't blame you for that, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. We have a bunch of emails, a gigantic stack, as a matter of fact. I don't have any idea how I'm going to get through all these, but we are going to begin here in a moment. But before I do that, I want to do this really quickly. I want to remind everybody that Preborn is still out there fighting every day for life. The best way to change the culture of abortion, the best way to change the culture of death, is education. So many of these people who love abortion simply don't know. When a young woman is seeking an abortion, she's pregnant, she's seeking an abortion, that's when Preborn steps in and says, hey, how about a free ultrasound? Almost every time when she hears a heartbeat, she chooses life. It's from God. It becomes a baby in her mind. It's an education system. It becomes a baby. And then if she needs more help, diapers, or maybe she needs protection from a bad husband or boyfriend or something, Preborn's there. Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say baby. $28 buys that ultrasound. Or you can go to preborn.com/Jesse. All right? Save a life going into the weekend. Sponsored by Preborn. All right, without further ado, let's do it.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails
we didn't get to.
Oh, self-proclaimed author and oracle. You're 6'8". Have you ever dunked a basketball? Yes, I have. Have you ever dunked on your kids and shouted in your face? No, I have not, but I am more than willing to absolutely brutalize my children in board games and in basketball or whatever else we play. You want to win? You got to earn it, baby, in the Kelly household. Dear Oracle, even when I don't want to take sides on this Israel versus Iran thingy, mostly because this is not new and Israel's PM has been trying to get the USA into war in Iran since before Trump, I do want to establish something. Iran did not initiate this latest escalation. Israel did bomb an Iranian consulate in Syria days before this attack took place, and as you yourself has said, the Iranian government was forced to respond somehow just to keep face in front of their people. My best for you and your whole team and family, so on and so forth. Well, just to clarify something really quickly, Israel did not bomb the embassy in Syria. That's a lie. They bombed a building that was right next to the embassy, which housed a bunch of Iranian and terrorist commanders and whatnot. Now, you can say that's bad enough. That's the same. Well, they didn't bomb the embassy. Or that's a lie. That's, make sure we're right on the facts. They didn't bomb the embassy. Looks like Israel bombed out a bunch of air defenses in Iran last night, in case you're wondering what ended up happening there. Iran's kind of backing off all that today, basically denying the whole thing. Again, trying to avoid escalation, trying to save face, which, given everything else that's going on out there right now, it's probably a good thing. Dear Jesse, my kids ride to and from school with me every day. My son recently had a birthday, requested Jesse Kelly burgers. At the last minute, he requested no cheese. Could you please scold him on the air and explain the importance? They're 7 and 9. They love listening to you, and thank you for the family-friendly show. Give a shout-out to Coco and a big happy birthday to Roy. That's a sweet name, by the way. Happy birthday, Roy, and they are requesting the Howard Dean sound. Roy, I almost didn't give you that for your blasphemy when it comes to cheese. Don't ever eat another Jesse Kelly burger without cheese, Roy. And if you do, don't put my name on that. That's officially a Roy burger, a garbage burger. Jesse, there's a pressing issue I need answered before I meet my maker. Why does a certain group of females drive a certain kind of vehicle brand? It seems every time I pull up on one of these vehicles, the driver, occupant, or both has a military-style haircut, and the rear of the vehicle always has a couple social issue bumper stickers. Well, everyone knows what he's talking about here. He's talking about Lesbaroos. That's what he's talking about. Everyone knows it. No, what, Chris? We can be honest about things.
Why are you gay?
Lesbians love Subarus. I actually do not know the answer to this question, but this is something that was very common. I moved to Bozeman, Montana when I was 10. My dad, My dad, I can't even repeat the things he used to shout on the road. In fact, if he was coming up behind one, he'd say, here, hang on, we got to get around this thing. We all know what we're dealing with here. It's, I don't know why it is, but it's a fact. Jesse, I think there should be more fighting in sports. If two guys have a beef, they should settle it with a scrap. Hockey had this right forever. Pitcher throws inside, step into the foul territory, you and your pitcher throw down. Well, I don't know that that would benefit every sport, but I do know that people were much, much, much more polite in this society when throwing hands was always an option. And throwing hands in a controlled environment is always a good thing. In my high school, we had boxing smokers. If you had somebody you had a beef with, a smoker is just a boxing match that anyone can sign up for, Chris. If you had beef with somebody, throw on the gloves, get out there. Everyone gets entertained. No one's going to get hurt that bad. Maybe a little bloody nose or something like that. The beef gets settled. You normally hug it out at the end. Usually your friends afterwards. Life was better. And I might point out once again, there were virtually no school shootings in America before all this anti-bullying program crap. Well, don't fight back. Tell the teacher. You got to let the fellas fight it out every now and then. But fellas, let me remind you of something. You young men who listen to me, not on the concrete. I can't stand how many young people I see getting hurt these days because they're getting scraps on the pavement or on the concrete. Go, you want to throw hands? Throw hands. Go to the grass. Go to the grass. There are a lot of men sitting in prison for a random fight. They hit the wrong guy who fell the wrong way. Now they're in prison on manslaughter charges. Fight in the freaking grass, for Pete's sake. Jesse, how long do you think it'll take before the federal government collapses under the weight of the national debt? I don't think there will ever be a collapse all at once. It will be a slow, steady downgrade of our credit rating. The big event that will change everything for us will be if there's ever a BRICS meeting where significant nations officially move off of the dollar as the world's reserve currency. From what I understand, there's another BRICS meeting in October, and I don't think that's going to happen then. I don't know. It might. I'm not telling you it's going to happen then, but that will be the moment. The reason we're allowed to ring up these deficits and spend more than we take in is because we are the world's reserve currency. That's actually what allows us to get away with that. If that goes away, everything will change. Absolutely everything will change. Haha, congrats, brother. That was a great interview with Tucker. You're one of the first ones to even come close to allude to the literal force, DNI, government, DIA, hopefully replacing CIA. Thanks for having the guts. All the best. He didn't say I could use his name, so I won't. Everyone keeps thanking me for my guts. I don't think I have guts. I think there are a lot of people out there who have guts. I'm just saying what we're all thinking. All right. Put your phone down and go enjoy your weekend and your family. We'll be back on Monday to do it again. That's all.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind.
This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.